on this second Sunday of Advent. We have a couple of announcements today. Today is the last day to order your Christmas poinsettia. If you would like to have that poinsettia up on the altar during Christmas, please contact the church office. December the 13th is the final day to get the wrapped angel tree gifts. Please have those here by 3 o'clock on the 13th so we can get those to the proper places. December the 14th will be a council meeting, 7 o'clock at the church office. Don't forget the drawing for the gas card on December the 20th. If you need a ticket, contact Latifa at the church office. And on February the 7th will be our annual audit. If you are a committee chair or in charge of the finances for that committee, find out with the church office what your time is for your audit. That will be February the 7th. I have one final announcement that I am very pleased to make. The call committee has come to the council with a primary candidate we're very excited about. So on December the 19th, we'll have a meet and greet out at the shelter in the back. That will be from start at 2 o'clock. And then on Sunday the 20th, we'll do a drive-through vote, just like we did for our congregation meeting and the budget. It's a very exciting time. We as the council are excited about this candidate. I know the call committee has worked very hard. I want to thank the call committee for their dedication to go forward in this process. So thank you to the call committee. So once again, on December the 19th at 2 o'clock at the picnic shelter, we will have a meet and greet with our primary candidate. Then on Sunday the 20th, we will do a drive-through vote from 11:30 to 1:30. You can come through and cast your ballots. There has been a card sent out to everyone on the roster with this same information, so please look in the mail. With that being said, make sure you do wear a face covering and let's practice our social distancing at that time. Happy birthdays and anniversaries. Happy birthday to Nicole Mize, Glenna Garner, Madison Lore Pope, Jennifer Blower, happy anniversary to Brandon and Brandy Conrad. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We do have a couple of prayer shawls. I apologize, skipped right over that, Mr. Chip.
Actually, we've got, I've got four prayer shawls this morning. Unfortunately, three of them are the same family. I don't know how many of you know Greg Wood. He's a retired deputy sheriff, ran for sheriff a few years ago, and his wife, Tiffany Wood, who runs Flowers Plus. No, Love Blossom, Love Blossom. Anyhow, their oldest son, well, Chase, was driving a tractor down the road, and he stopped to let oncoming cars go by. And when he stopped, His two siblings, Autumn and Chance, both jumped off the tractor and ran into an oncoming car ran into them. It sent Autumn flying. She's got like 150 stitches in her hip. And her brother, Chance, was also hit, but not near as severely wounded. And then later that same day, Chase, got his jacket caught up in a tractor auger while he was drilling fence posts. And so he's just got out of the hospital, and they're all doing well, but they're pretty bad shape, especially Chase. So anyhow, it's for Autumn and Chance and Chase. And he doesn't know about it yet, but this one's for Pastor Talent. He's having reverse shoulder replacement later this month, and we thought maybe we ought to send a prayer shawl with him.
Let us confess our sins and hear words of forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, strengthen us to serve you with purified lives through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The second Sunday of Advent, we praise you, O God, for this circle of light that marks our days of preparation for Christ's Advent. As we light the candles on this wreath, kindle within us the Spirit, the fire of your Spirit, that we may be light shining in the darkness. Enlighten us with your grace, that we may welcome others as you have welcomed us. Grant this through Christ our Lord, whose coming is certain and whose day draws near. Amen.
Good morning. So you got to go back to school this week? Good. Are you in the same class? Were you out? Okay. There, nobody else has gotten sick, right? Good. Good. Very good. Well, I was going to tell you, I heard about a new game, which is supposed to be great to play, and I thought you'd like to try it maybe sometime, maybe not now. But the game is very simple. All you have to do is sit perfectly still and do and say nothing. That sound like a good game? Think your parents would like the game? Yeah, parents might like it. You don't think it sounds so good? No, well, I don't know that I blame you too much. But how about if we made a slight difference in it and said you do that after somebody starts counting and they're going to come find you and hide and seek? Does that sound better? Okay. Yeah. That sounds like a whole different game, right? So hiding and being still is not so much fun unless there's some point to it. Well, one of the professors at one of our seminaries said that game is kind of like what's happening in our reading this Sunday from the Bible. God says he's going to restore his people, to come down, find his people, and comfort his people. It's kind of like saying, ready or not, here I come. God's coming because God loves us so much, he's going to find us, even if we try to hide. It says even in the wilderness, God will find us because God loves us so much and cares for us. And I think that's kind of like we sometimes are in life. Sometimes we think maybe God is not there, or God is not watching over us. But the Bible tells us that God is always watching over us. And the Bible lesson today is telling you that ready or not, God's coming and will find us wherever we are, and will watch over and care for us. And that's why Jesus came, to give us that message. And that's what this season, as we get ready for Christmas and we celebrate Christmas, is about. God loving us so much that even if we try to hide from him, he's going to find us, because he wants to care for us and share his love with us. Let's pray. Dear God, help us when we're afraid. Help us when we don't know what to do. Help us remember that your love for us means you are looking for us, even when we're afraid and hide. Help us share that love with others, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thanks for coming up.
A reading from Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 85. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. A reading from 2 Peter. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard of the patience of our Lord as salvation. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O
Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Our lessons today are, I think, some of the most interesting phrases that people often remember from the Bible. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. Grass withers, flowers fade. People are like that. Those verses are important in understanding God's relationship to us. But truly, the focus of today, it seems to me, is God's sending His Son and the amount of love God has for us and reveals to us. Some of you may have screensavers on your screen. The one that shows up on my screen, I didn't really set up, but it shows up every day, is something from Windows. It's a picture of some place in the world or something they think you may like to see. One that showed up this week I thought was interesting, to me at least, and it was the Temple of Athena Pronaia in Delphi, Greece. Now, when I was in school, we learned a lot about ancient Greeks and Romans, and one of the things I remembered was the temple at Delphi. And that was where you went to speak to someone who would give you answers to significant questions. This particular place was on the slopes of Mount Parnassus. It was a huge temple complex spread out over an area that called the navel of the earth. If you went there today, you'd come to the foundation stones of the Temple of Athena Pronaia and three restored Doric columns. Originally, it was a circle of 20 on the outside, and there was another circle of a different kind of column on the inside. And about a half mile away from there was the Temple of Apollo. And that's where the Oracle of Delphi gave out her prophecies, and you would go there to see it. The sanctuary of Athena Pronaia was the first one you came to when you went there. And the meaning was simply the one before, Athena Pronaia. Athena was the goddess of wisdom, but this temple was called Pronaia because it was the one before Apollo. So when you went to see the oracle for Apollo, you first went through the one who came before. John fulfills that role of a forerunner, the one who was to make known the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. My Son, my beloved, God will say at the baptism. For Mark, in his gospel, is telling the story of the gospel. There wasn't widespread use of that term until Mark. Mark's thought to be the first gospel written. And it had that simple title, and that's all it was. Verse 1 is not really a verse in the sense of a sentence. It's a title. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The title. That's what he titled his gospel. And in that gospel, we begin in the midst of the wilderness. Biblically, the wilderness was important. For the early church, it was important. A lot of followers would go out into the wilderness to try to get closer to God, to try to have a deeper spiritual experience. We think of going in the wilderness, we probably think of going up to the mountains and walking through the woods, taking a trail, maybe going out to the lake, or some of you who go deer hunting, of course, you're trying to find a wild place away from the city to do your deer hunting. And we think of that as wilderness. But the wilderness around Jerusalem, Galilee, was not quite so lush and pleasant. Was sand and rock and dry. Occasionally you might have a little oasis. It was rough country. Dangerous in some places just to go through. But it was a place that people went out to see John. They went out because they knew something was missing in their life. Something in their relationship with God. And they sought out John, trying to find answers. And more than that, trying to find grace and mercy, seeking forgiveness. Having come through the first 10 months of the COVID pandemic, as we continue through Advent, we're reminded that we also are looking for new hope. 12 months ago, we came to Advent, and we were excited about the coming year. excited about what it would mean. We always, at least I think most people, are excited around the change of the year. What's going to happen next year? We moved about as we wished. We got ready for Christmas. Maybe went to the movies. Went out to eat some. I remember someone early on invited me to go to lunch, but I already had plans that day, so we couldn't get a lunch. But little did we know that that wouldn't be possible in another month. We assembled in groups much larger than 10. We visited friends and family. We could see people who were in the nursing homes or the hospital. A big part of what I did for a number of years was visit hospitals, because I was where there were a lot of people who were sick. We went to work and got paychecks, all the other things we do. And just a couple of months after that, the whole world changed. Everything was turned upside down. Everything seemed to be affected. Family, school, work, shopping, healthcare, eating, travel for work, travel for fun, finances, exercise, every aspect affected in some way. And today we hear those words from Scripture, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God." And the thing about those words, Israel had a very mixed history up to that point. God delivered them from slavery. They came to this new place, promised to be faithful despite all the difficulties of the journey, the difficulties often brought on by their stubbornness and their arrogance. Joshua led them across the river to the land promised to Abraham. They had their own nation. They were ruled for probably about 400 years, but we don't know for sure, by judges, including Deborah, Gideon, Samuel. Eventually, they told God they wanted a king, and they got a king, Saul. Two more kings for the monarchy, David and Solomon. The nation in this form lasted about 165 years. And after Solomon, it split into two: Israel, the northern kingdom, Judah, in the south. The children of Israel continued to drift away from what God had called them to do. And eventually, judgment came. And Isaiah is writing to the people in the face of that judgment. The first part of Isaiah is filled with words of judgment and condemnation because the children of Israel have turned away from God and God's law. They have treated each other poorly. They failed to do what they were called to do. But the passage we read today, and starting in Isaiah 40, we read words of comfort and hope and assurance that God has not forgotten them. Jerusalem has fallen to the enemy. The temple has been burned and destroyed. The house of David is no longer in charge, and they thought the house of David would be there forever. Now a whole new group of Jews, unrelated to those, have been sent off to Babylon in exile. Children of Israel no longer can trust in the temple, or the city, or the kings, or even the land which they had been promised as they came out of Egypt. What are they to trust? Isaiah says, "Trust the words of the Lord. Trust that God has not abandoned you. Trust that God still cares for you." Surely that word of comfort and trust speaks to us. Millions of people worldwide have been affected. Over 250,000 Americans alone have died. Financial impact affected millions of families. Some are now in dire circumstances. Businesses face ruin. This summer we had protests that evolved into violence. The political campaign was certainly as hateful as any political campaign I can remember. If you live in California, you face terrible fires and other places out west. If you lived on the Gulf, you face terrible hurricanes. It's been a tough year. It's been a tough year for everyone. The bishop in his letter this week quoted that song about needing a little bit of Christmas about now. And I thought it was a great thing to say. Because I didn't know a lot about the song. I always thought it was a good song. But he made the point that in the play from which it came, the song happened in August after a whole bunch of stuff had gone wrong. And they said, what we need is a little bit of Christmas, something good to happen in our life. We look at these verses of Scripture and they offer us more than a little bit of Christmas. They offer us hope and comfort, the assurance that whatever comes in our life, God has not changed nor forgotten. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, are Mark's first words that we read. This is not just a story about somebody. This is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we think sometimes that the beginning of the story is just Mark's way of saying, well, I'm starting this book now. But in fact, this whole chapter is the beginning of the good news. And then the whole book becomes the beginning of the good news. The ongoing work of the gospel didn't stop with the beginning of the good news. It didn't stop with Jesus' crucifixion. It didn't stop with the resurrection at the end of Mark. And even though in Mark, the women who went to the grave, it says, were afraid in that verse in chapter 16. But the truth is, when Mark wrote the gospel, whether they were afraid or not, the good news spread. And the good news continued to spread. And the church grew. And the church grows even today when people experience the comfort of God's promises and grace and mercy and understand the depth of God's love. And so what we need, certainly, as the bishop says, is a little Christmas. But we find that not in big things, but even in this season when so much has changed, we find it in the little things that God works in our lives, that we're called to work for others. Sometimes it's things we don't much care for, like staying away from crowds or wearing a mask in public. Sometimes it's important for our communities and our friends that we buy from local businesses to support them, or that we help charitable organizations in our communities as we did with the tree, as we do with the other ministries of the congregation. It may be sending a note to encourage someone who's struggling or facing difficulty. It may mean calling someone who's lonely. And the list goes on and on. And that's the point. We focus oftentimes on the big spectacular things that have happened in the past or even today. But the life of the Christian is just as much in the small things, where we touch people who need to experience God's grace and comfort. Everything in Mark starts with one word, arch, meaning beginning or origin or start. The whole gospel of Mark starts that way. The beginning. We are the continuation of that gospel. Whatever our usual preparation for Christmas, it is fundamentally about small things. We've done some things. We have our Advent wreath. We have our nativity scene and our Christmas tree. I suspect you probably have those, at least many of you, in your homes. Other things that we usually do, not so much are we able to do this year. Christmas parties. the Advent meals that normally we have. Things that have to change. But the beginning of the good news, the gospel, doesn't change. The beginning of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is not just in the big spectacular events. It's in the everyday life when we seek to live out Christ's love with those around us, whether in our family or in our community. So we watch and we wait and we look and we try to prepare, because the Christ child will grow up and will experience all the aspects of our life. And when we read that Gospel of Mark, as we will do in the coming year, we read the good and the bad, the transfiguration, the suffering, the death and resurrection, the fear of the disciples. All of that is part of the beginning. But through it all, God still tells us, I am with you. And when we sing the hymn, O Come Emmanuel, we are eager for Christ to come again. And he promises that he will. And in this season, as we prepare for Christmas, as we prepare for the day when we can gather again in more normal fashion for our worship and praise of God, to share in the communion on a regular basis, to experience fellowship, the promise is still there. Jesus, the Son of God, to the end of Mark, truly this man was God's son. And all that went in between is the beginning of the gospel. Let us never forget in this Advent season that we await Christ's return for eternity. But as it was for Mark, so it is for us. The beginning of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Whatever happens in the world, fading flowers, wilting grass, 1,000 years, the good news is still there. Mark announced that day, the beginning of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We now are part of that good news and are called to continue to share that good news in whatever little way we can, despite all the efforts of the world to make it hard. We continue. We share and we hope. You look to a coming year with exciting possibilities. Use this season to prepare as you watch and wait for Christmas and whatever it brings. Amen.
church with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
God of power and might, comfort your people and come quickly to this weary world. Hear our prayers on behalf of the church, the world, and all people according to their needs. Faithful God, you teach us to wait for you with faithfulness and patience, to sustain and support us in our doubts and questions. We long, O Lord, for your salvation. Make haste and help us. Come quickly with blessing and comfort. Nurture our faith as we recognize and live out our mission. Lord, in your mercy, prepare your church for the coming of your Son. From valleys of lukewarm worship and half-hearted service, raise it to heights of praise and compassion. Level mountains of false teaching and self-importance. Lead it along level pathways of faithfulness and humility, so that many more may know your mercy. Lord, in your mercy, prepare the people of this congregation for the coming of our Savior. Help us to exalt the humble, to bring low mountains of self-will in our lives, to make level pathways so that we may lead others to Jesus. Look with favor upon those learning the way of discipleship and upon your missionaries around the world. Lord, in your mercy, prepare the hearts of our children and youth for the coming of their dear Savior. Protect and bless them, and help us teach them to love Jesus and to trust him always. Lord, in your mercy, prepare the world for the coming of its true King. Give leaders of all nations the will to help people in the depths of poverty, discrimination, disease, disability, homelessness, or hunger. Level mountains of injustice throughout the world so that no nation will again raise a sword against another nation. Guide all people to pathways of righteousness and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Tender God, you know sorrow and joy alike. We pray for those of our families and congregation who are not joyful in this holiday season. Comfort those who grieve. Be a companion to those who are lonely. Tend those who are struggling with depression or addiction, and gather all people into your loving embrace. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, you set the stars in the sky and breathe life into the earth. Grant wisdom to all those working on vaccines and improved treatment for the COVID-19 virus. Sustain and guard those who struggle with the impact of the pandemic on their families, businesses, jobs, education, mental health, and income. Lord, in your mercy. Prepare the hearts of those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit for the coming of Christ, the great physician. We lift before you especially the needs of Burnett, Gary, Walter, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Libby, Barbara, Mary, Bill, Rex, Harold, Scott, Kara, Michael, Neil, Steve, Kenneth, Charlotte, Lynn, Eva Ray, David, Pauline, Curtis, Joanne, Randy, Rylan, Brian and Shelley's Danielle, our service men and women all over the world. Raise them up from sickness and sorrow and separation. Lay low the mountains of pain, and by your Son's gentle hand, lead them and their loved ones along level pathways to health and hope. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal God, thank you for the saints who have prepared your way in the wilderness and taught us to live lives of faithfulness, especially on this day, Nicholas of Myra, and those whom we name now in our hearts or upon our lips. Make their generous, compassionate lives an example for all. Lord, in your mercy. Draw near to us, O God. Receive and answer our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns one God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
O God of justice and love, give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end, bring all the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
And now let us say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.